Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right. Good morning, everyone in Buckhead and beyond. Rich Casanova here for another exciting edition of Buckhead Business Radio X. And we want to thank our business partners, sponsors, and underwriters. Help make the show possible. Atlanta Business Networking, promoting over 100 networking events throughout Atlanta. Network, build relationships, and business will follow. AtlantaBusinessNetworking.com. Crown Office Suites with full-time, part-time, and virtual executives office plans for anyone seeking convenience, flexibility, full-service amenities, as well as meeting and conference rooms options. And the Ritz Group, connecting entrepreneurs and business, raising capital with angels, investors, and institutions. The Ritz Group, where creativity meets capital. RitzGroup.org. All right, I'm Rich Casanova once again, and we have some great guests in the studio this morning. Quite an array of backgrounds and types of businesses. We have a gentleman first. Jeff, say hi to our audience here. And you're here with the Marriott and also Shula's. Is it 347 or 347, or how does that work? Yeah,
Shula's 347 Grill.
Okay, that's what I'm going with. All right, we have Chris. Say good morning to us, Chris. And you're with Schroeder PR?
I am. Good morning, Buckhead.
Yeah, absolutely. How long have you been in the PR business?
12 years.
Okay, so welcome to the show. We're going to learn more about Chris in a moment. And we have Ken Scroggs is the founder of CEO HealthWork Solutions. Ken, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Yeah, and you were early up early this morning or something, or avoided the traffic. First, you win the first in the studio prize this morning, yeah.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, just check with Cindy on the way out. She'll have something for you. She'll be confused when she says it, yeah. And finally, we have Rob Bradfoot. And you're here, probably the most intriguing, no offense to our other audience members, but something kind of interesting, getting a lot of buzz on Twitter. Are you the founder or creative genius or behind Bum Float?
I'm one of three partners that created the Bum Float.
The Bum Float.
Yes.
So we're not going to tell our listeners anymore. That's what we call the hook in radio, right? So you got to tune and listen in for what's coming up with news about the Bum Float. All right. So having said that, we have our first guest here, Jeff Spaccio.
Perfect.
All right, nice. I had a choice of two, and I got, so I had 50-50 chance at that one. So you're the regional director and sales managing for overseeing all aspects of the Marriott Buckhead Hotel and Shula's 347 Grill. And but we have a little bit in common. I didn't realize until I was reading your bio. But first, you've just been here about 6 months in hot Atlanta.
I have.
So you just timed it perfect, just in time for finished our ice storms, and now you're going to enjoy
the heat. I got here just in time for the ice storms.
That's nice. Perfect. But you spent some time in Las Vegas, but you were born in Miami or just worked down there?
I worked down there. My career kind of took off down in Miami, so 10 years down in Miami.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, I was born in Miami and left. I decided to move when I was 13 months old, so the rest is for another show. But meanwhile, so you have quite a background in hotel in Melbourne Beach?
Yeah, Melbourne's actually my hometown, so
okay.
Where I was raised and went to high school, went to college in Central Florida.
Yeah, Central Florida, yeah. FSU here, so that's where I guess it ends. But meanwhile,
it does.
But a lot of family in Melbourne as well. So meanwhile, having moved from, how long were you in Vegas?
I was in Vegas for 2 years.
Okay, what were you doing there?
I had two. I worked for a management company called Pyramid Hotel Group. So we have about 58 hotels throughout the country, and we have a couple of Westins out there.
Okay.
One out in Lake Las Vegas, and then one near the Strip in Vegas. So. Spent 2 years out there doing the same thing I'm doing here, which is driving revenues into our hotels and our restaurants.
So. Nice. So the heat here, that'll be a breeze. It's nothing compared to the desert, right?
You have that argument, yeah.
Right,
it's the dry heat, humidity.
Yeah, argument, yeah.
But yeah.
So, all of our guests, we were pretty excited when you're here. You had the shortest commute. You won the prize for that one. Again, check with Cindy on the way out, yeah. But in our green room, was that amazing view or what?
It was. It's a beautiful view of the Buckhead Marriott. So.
Yeah.
Good studio choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we just try to please our guest here. So speaking of the hotel, the Buckhead Marriott went through a major, huge transformation about 4 years ago. Tell us what you heard about that and what we can expect from guests.
Yeah, it did. It was the hotel in the end of 2009 really completed a $50 million renovation, and it was every aspect of the asset. So in our business, it's 349 rooms and 30,000 square feet of conference center space, and every bit of that was completely renovated from the ground up. So it's a completely different experience for those who haven't been to the property in a while. Or haven't experienced it. It's a 40-year-old building. So what you see aesthetically on the outside is a very different than what you feel when you walk inside. So warm tones, high ceilings, a complete redo of the property. So real proud of it.
Yeah, no, I've spent some time there at Shula's, and yeah, it's a really cool property. It is very nice, very impressive on the inside. Only being here about 6 months, you may or may not know this one, but when was the last renovation prior to that? I mean, not 40 years ago when it was built.
Almost, yeah. No, the hotel had gone through a lot of transformations throughout the year.
Over the years, yeah.
And when we took it from a Sheraton to a Marriott, we did... That's when we did the $50 million.
Oh, okay. So just 4 years ago is when you all took over the property. Okay. And one of the other claims to fame, which we enjoy being able to just walk from the studio here, is the legendary Miami Dolphins. Again, seems to be a Miami theme here. Raise your hand if you're any. We'll talk Miami stories a little bit later. But Coach Don Shula opened Shula's 347 Grill in the lobby of your hotel. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Shula's is it's a huge part of our asset, and it's we're real proud of it. We're in the process of going through a huge growth spurt with Shula's. We partnered with a local sports radio station, 92.9 The Game. It's Coach Shula and his vision for quality in terms of the brand makes all the sense in the world for us to do partnerships on the sports side. So yeah, we're real proud of what's going on in Shula's.
Yeah, I think they have one in Vegas as well, right? Or some other spots around
They got them all over the country, and they've got six different brands. So the 347 brand, the 347 stands for Coach Shula's Wins, all-time winningest coach.
Good trivia point there, whatever. Yeah. And but the only one in Atlanta?
Only one in Atlanta. Yeah.
Nice. And speaking of the 92.9 Game, we're fans of those guys, whatever, and I've been to a couple of their events, and one of our guys in Gwinnett works with them, so a lot of interesting backstory there. But y'all broadcast the game weekly, Thursday afternoons. It's happy hour. It is the place to be in Buckhead, right? Tell us about that experience and what goes on with the Green Show, the David Green Show there.
Yeah, we about 4 months ago, we developed a strategic partnership with 92.9 The Game to do a multitude of things, but the primary... pillar for that is the David Green College Show. So we started the show outside of college football season to draw people in, and really we're reaching out to, in particular in Buckhead, we've got a lot of Georgia alums. We know how powerful SEC football is, and the Bulldogs are out there in the Bulldog Nation. So David Green has been a huge, just a great guy, a huge proponent of the property and the asset. And again, from a brand perspective, from a business perspective, for us to align with sports, with Shula's, for us to align with David and what he represents. He's a local businessman in Buckhead as well.
Yeah.
So we're thrilled to have that partnership, and it's growing every day.
And as the official home of the Hawks, whatever, we had a gentleman, the voice of the Hawks here a few weeks back, right up on our wall. Bob Rathburn was here. So
yeah, he comes to the show. He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. And also, is it true you're a big fan of Miami Heat?
It is true. I don't know if I can admit that in ATL, right, but everybody knows right, that
exactly,
actually.
Yeah.
And when I'm
that would have been good about four or five weeks ago, whatever. Yeah,
we're very excited about the start of Falcons football.
Yeah, switching gears, where Bulldog Mania is right around the corner, right? Yeah,
yeah. You know, we're building that show around Bulldog Nation, and that's.
Yeah.
But yes, on a personal level, I am.
Yeah.
and a Hawks fan, secondary.
Well, we have security in the building, so you're fine.
Okay,
dude. Yeah, you're fine. But yeah, speaking of that, so, I mean, you have the Terry College of Business is, what, two doors down from you as well? So, I mean, yeah, just kind of right in the middle of things right here. So, going back to Shula's, to the grill, what do we expect in the coming months? What's in store?
We're going to see more and more programming and promotions as we continue to develop what we're doing with David. We do four really core promos right now. The first we call Halftime at Shula's, and that's really a call out to the local Buckhead businesses to come try our lunch menu. We have a $9.29 lunch menu that
I've done that. Yeah.
Yeah. That you can do. And we'll get you in and out of there in 45 minutes. And that's really kind of to give you an option here locally. The land of restaurants here, it's highly competitive. We want to make sure that we compete in that market.
Right.
We also do something called Timeout at Shula's, and all these names obviously revolve around the sports. Timeout's our happy hour. So from 4 to 7, we do $3 local brews with sweet water. We do $5 cocktails. We do $9.29 food specials with everything from Shula's steak tips to world famous barbecue shrimp and signature items on Shula's that we do for a fraction of the cost that we normally do. That's Time Out. And then on the weekends, we do something called Legendary Weekends on the patio. And that's, we built that really around food specials and an infused Bloody Mary bar where we actually, it's Bloody Mary tableside. We come to the tableside and we concoct your Bloody Mary with infused vodka. So
just making it too easy there.
It's a Vegas recipe.
But yeah, speaking of the steak tips, I had those on the salad, and they're really good, yeah. And what's cool is you can hang out on the patio right there and kind of people watch and see what's going on in the scene or whatever, yeah. So it's really cool.
The thing about Shula is that's so different and so unique is there's three distinctly different venues. When you walk in, you've got you walk straight ahead. We have the upscale sports lounge,
right? Yeah,
and that's really our place to go. By the way, call out for USA Belgium today. Come out and watch it. And then you can go out to the patio, and we've got TVs, and we've got that aspect as well. And then we've got the traditional steakhouse, which is, you know, a phenomenal kind of fine dining experience. Still upscale casual, but gives you, you know, a more tucked away. And then we've got private dining available as well. So
I don't know the fourth one. I did.
There's four.
I've done, I was going to say two out of three. I guess not just two out of four now that I've done or experienced. So tell us any advice for your young listeners looking for a career in hospitality. You have a lot of background in that. And, you know, are you hiring or, you know, what are you looking for, I guess?
Yeah,
if you
I am hiring, and we're always hiring. And for me, I was 17 when I got into the business. I started at the front desk. You know, I was... The business for young people out there, the hospitality industry, gives you a tremendous amount of opportunity to grow and grow quickly. And I think that's what I loved about the business. There's an entrepreneurial spirit about it that I don't think people necessarily understand. I've had creative license in my career to kind of grow through the sales and marketing ranks, and I would encourage you know, kids out there. We're not necessarily in a huge hospitality market here in Atlanta, relative to Miami and Vegas. There's still a big, this is a big tourist town and a huge business travel town, obviously, with Buckhead as well. But encourage kids to start their career because you can really do whatever you want and have the ability to grow it. So.
When you say not a large hospitality market, do you mean like growing or expanding or just that there's so much urban, it's not like like you said, Orlando or Vegas or something like that?
Well, you know, I guess that's all relative. I guess it's relative when I think of Orlando, Vegas, Miami.
Yeah,
then
right.
You think of those as the pillars.
Yeah.
Atlanta is a tremendous business destination. And you know, for me, that's what I love about our location. And, you know, obviously relative to what we're talking about today in Buckhead business. Business travel in Buckhead is through the roof. The demand into this market, what's going on in Buckhead from a business perspective is huge for our business. And that's our core traveler.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So easy for business travelers to fly into the world's busiest airport, jump on MARTA. We got, two MARTA stations with three different stops here. And then right to your property, hop back on MARTA. And then I know it's not on the list, but before we finish up, well, we're going to talk about the 4th of July and some really cool stuff there. But your conference center, I mean, what's the largest capacity or even smallest? What's the range there?
No, I appreciate you bringing that up. Yeah. We have a very unique hotel in the market in that we have the only IAC-certified conference center. It's International Association of Conference Centers.
Thank you.
It's
you're
acronym. And within...
the only what?
IAC.
I know, but...
International Association of Conferences.
Well, I got that, but you said the only one what in the
in Buckhead.
Okay.
So in Atlanta, there's
a handful of others.
There's a handful. I think there's five or so in Atlanta. Okay. But in our market, we've designed a conference center that's solely there for meetings. So there's a tremendous amount of standards that you have to live up to go in there. So to answer your question, we can do anything from a dedicated boardroom for 15 in a high level board meeting to 900 people in a large conference. So that's what that conference center was designed for.
And is there a conference season or whatever? It's probably not so much during the summer, but...
Well, I got to tell you, I love this about Atlanta, and we love this. You know, our company loves this. Atlanta doesn't have a whole lot of season, believe it or not. It's pretty much 12 months out of the year.
That's
outside
good,
of holidays, you know, business here is strong year-round, and it's not as seasonal as many markets that I've been in.
So. Cool. All right. So finish up and tell us about this July 4th. I mean, again, right out our window, you have an amazing vantage point as well for coming up this Friday. Best seat in town, right? View of Lenox, fireworks. What's going on there?
Yeah, we're real excited. I mean, the 4th is always a huge event here with the Lenox fireworks and the largest firework display in the Southeast. And we've got prime position right across from it where you can see everything. This year we've got so much going on with it falling on a Friday one. Oh, yeah. So we got a lot of folks coming in and spending the weekend and going to enjoy that with their families. In addition, we're doing a live broadcast with the game. Dukes and James show will be out there, and we'll be doing specials all day from 2 to 6. Coincides with the World Cup, so you can come out and check out the cup, and then at 6 we're calling a VIP viewing party, but it's complimentary valet. Anybody can come out and enjoy the patio, enjoy one of the best places in town to watch it, enjoy food and drink specials throughout the evening, watch the fireworks, and still get out. I know traffic is tough,
but if you mentioned here early enough,
We're really going to do a call out to get people out 2 to 6, and you know, and enjoy that time frame, and then they can stay through and leave once the streets close.
Well, if there's any overflow, if you can't handle them all, send them over here. I'll charge them $1.50. They can get a studio view.
Might need your building for views.
All right. Well, so Jeff, it was a pleasure talking with you and having you in the studio this morning. Tell our listeners what's the best way to reach out to y'all's. You know, the property and Shula's and
Best website. Way to do it is you know, we've got a tremendous social presence. So just Google us, the Atlanta Marriott Buckhead Hotel and Conference Center, or Marriott Buckhead, and you'll find all kinds of ways to get at us. So
cool.
Thank you, Rich. This is great. Appreciate
yeah, absolutely.
It.
Yeah, pleasure again. And see you next door this week.
Come on over.
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah. All right. Thanks again. So up next we have Chris Schroeder. And welcome to the show again. Chris, how are you this morning?
Doing great. How you doing, Rich?
Unbelievable. So any Miami stories you can share with us, or what part of the world do you come from?
I'm actually a fifth-generation native Atlantan.
Wow.
Hard to
believe. Five generations.
I grew up in Buckhead when there were only 4 or 5 bars in Buckhead.
Wow. And tough times, man.
I tried to visit most of those at the time. I think one is still in existence.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow. Last bar standing. That's crazy. So so before getting into PR, about 12 years, you said. Now, what have some things you've done in the past prior to that?
I started off in the newspaper business. So
okay.
I worked for 6 different daily newspapers around the South. The last two were the AJC and the Fulton County Daily Report, the legal newspaper here in town. And then started my own neighborhood newspapers in Virginia Highland, Buckhead, and downtown Sandy Springs. And then sold those 12 years ago, went into the PR business. So I sort of jumped over the wall to the dark side,
right,
as they say, and went into public relations. And so after journalists, went over there, practiced that. And we have a firm in Midtown serving lots of clients, including some in Buckhead. And last fall, we kind of jumped into the middle again to this emerging gap called content marketing, where we started an e-newsletter called the Atlanta 100. And we email that out to about 15,000 people each Thursday. And it's sort of a little bit of concept of a newspaper, your local newspaper, all about Atlanta, but everything is 100 words. Each article is 100 words long, and each video is 100 seconds in length.
Yeah. We met at I think it was the Atlanta Press Club event, and some of your other folks there as well. And I'm on the list. I'm one of the 15,000, whatever. And it is really cool. Every Thursday, I get that in my inbox, and it just kind of gives me a quick snapshot of what's going on in the city and some interesting stories. And you know, I'm always looking for interesting guests with compelling stories. So I might borrow a couple of those people here and there, or whatever, and watch some of the videos. And it is cool because it's like it tells you in 100 words, or I thought it was 100 minutes at first. I thought that's a long video, but 100 second video. So great, great concept. We'll touch on that, maybe elaborate that on that in a second. But what's this you mentioned about the Buckhead bricklayers? There's two stories behind this.
Yeah, well, when I was in high school getting ready to go to college, I was getting ready to bum around for the summer, and my mom suggested that was not the best policy to do. So she signed my friend Charles and me up for the Atlanta Area Technical School bricklaying course. So we took that one spring, and then we became the Buckhead bricklayers for 4 summers.
Wow.
With our famous motto of "We lay for less."
Right.
And so we actually worked, and we built terraces and walkways and walls all over Buckhead, mostly shady yards. We were kind of precise in which mailboxes we put our flyers into. We didn't want to work in the bright, bright, hot summer sun.
So not shady neighborhoods, but...
No,
oh.
Not shady neighborhoods, but shady trees.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
I got
sorry.
You.
well, leaf covered. And so it was a good trade to learn, and it's kind of fun to go back and to see, you know, guys sometimes want to leave their mark on the earth,
right.
And we were able to leave all kinds of... construction projects that are still standing.
Some
today.
Of them are still standing?
Yes. And so
that's
it's really a lot of fun to go see those. Also kept the trade going. I built a brick walkway at University of Virginia and terraces in Charlotte and Atlanta. So it's a lot of fun. It's good to have a career to fall back on.
Right, yeah. But when you were talking about that bricklayers, and it was your mom that suggested that, it almost sounded like punishment at first, whatever. Yeah, Chris, I need you to go lay some bricks in the sun until you shape up.
Well, it turned out she did have a little project right. work. She had some broken walkways and terraces she needed. So we actually contracted with my dad first, and he was our worst employer because he made us stick to we learned a hard lesson. We gave him a price of what we estimated the thought that it would take us to do the project, and then he made us stick to it, even though we worked 3 or 4 days longer than I really thought we were going to take. Because this is a hard lesson for you to learn about business, but you need to learn it. What you estimate is what you're going to get paid.
Yeah, that's some good lessons. Absolutely. Yeah. So you're moving from print media here in Atlanta and Buckhead to the Atlantronic. The Atlanta 100. When did that start?
The Atlanta 100 started in October,
okay.
And it's been really a labor of love. We have articles on history and architecture and events that we write about. We do a little management course, management column. We have all kinds of columns on. Finance and arts, a lot of events we try to cover in town.
Okay.
We even have a 100-word serial novel each week.
So, oh, really?
we also do a 100-second video on an interesting personality in town, as well as a 100-word article on them. So each week you get a little stories about people, places, history, and you get a real sense of place about Atlanta. We feel like this is a really good introduction for people who are new to Atlanta, as well as people who have lived here a long time and want to kind of recall some of the great places, as well as some of the future things that are going on.
And it's free to sign up for, imagine. Just
free to sign up at Atlanta100.com.
Nice. And talk to us about, in terms of PR, crisis communications, and content marketing. I mean, what's your observations on those topics, sir?
Well, public relations used to be primarily a lot of helping people get their stories shaped and get their stories into the paper or in mm-hmm. magazines or on TV. But luckily, the tools have emerged through the last few years. So now we're doing a lot of social media, a lot of e-newsletters, a lot of video production. But what people will call us, usually when they want to hire a PR firm, it's one of two points, that they either are upset they're not getting quoted in the paper or on TV or on radio, or they have a little crisis.
Right.
And so we enjoy it when they call for a crisis because they know they really need us and we're able to help them get out of it. We appreciate it even more when they call us before the crisis and we help train them beforehand, because the best time to train for a crisis is before you're in the middle of one. But we're able to help people talk about what messages they need to convey, to try to reduce the number of people who are talking to the media or to the public, and to always try to convey a sense of empathy and care and concern for the victims of whatever crisis that might be in, and then always say, we'll get more information shortly, and never to say the two words, no comment.
Really? Why would you not want to say that? I mean, is that just the public perception is guilt, or just like...
Back in the 60s and 70s, no comment was understood to mean you don't have enough information or you're not prepared to talk
right.
about it. But through the Watergate scandal and lots of other things, the 70s and 80s, the two words no comment carried on a lot of pejorative terms like, I don't want to tell you anything, I'm hiding something.
Right.
And so those words became used and branded as something more than they really were intended to be. So we always tell clients, never say, whatever you do, never say those two words.
So what would you coach them to say if they feel like they want to claim the fifth, so to speak, right? Is there something?
Well, Rich, that's a very good question, and I really would like to answer it. And, please allow us to gather a little bit more information, because it's really an important answer, and we want to get it for you. But we need to gather our resources to get it right. And as soon as we get the information, we'll get right back to you.
Okay, yeah. I guess that does sound better, yeah.
But we're greatly concerned about the victims of the situation.
Or the situation.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to the families involved.
Right. So do you have if you looked at your client list, is it more lean towards, business or certain types of businesses or industries or, individuals or firms,
we
not celebrities, right?
No, we don't do celebrities. Yeah. we've never been asked by one to work for them. We may say yes if they did. But no, we tend to work with professional service firms who are trying to get their messages out, trying to grow their business by reaching out to other businesses. So we help them write blogs or do their website or get their stories into the newspapers and radio and television. But primarily professional service firms such as healthcare or real estate development or accounting and law firms. But more and more we're doing emerging entrepreneurial tech firms and some hospitality. And so it's Atlanta's a great business environment. And luckily the economy is turning around.
Yeah.
And people are starting to spend money again. And they're starting to realize that they need to market themselves. And so now, after the recession, we have so many more tools at our behest that we can help them get their word out and reach their customers and engage them through social media or to get the word out through all kinds of new emerging media that they have out there.
So besides the crisis, which you kind of touched on, finally, what are like a typical client when they approach you, what seems to be on their short list, what they're wanting to achieve by hiring, you know, your firm?
Well, the thing we try to specialize in, it kind of comes from our newspaper experiences. We're always looking for stories that people can tell. So businesses are very good at doing what they do, manufacturing or selling or producing or servicing, but what they aren't very good at is communicating. And so what we'll do is sit down, much like a reporter, and talk to them for a couple of hours and try to dig down and find those stories that we think will help resonate with the public, help understand and tell their story about what their business does and be memorable, because people remember stories much more than facts and figures and names and dates. So we try to coach our clients to, after we discover those stories, and sometimes they're sitting in the middle of a good story and they don't recognize it, but we can recognize a story much like a photographer can see a good scene or a painter can see a good painting. We see a good story, we help them shape it and then tell it, and then that helps them explain what their business is. It's really fun to see a client, after working with them for a few days, say, you know, this is great. I really enjoy now being able to tell people what I do.
Right. A lot of times they're just too busy working on their own, you know, business, right, to get the good word out. And I like your analogy. I might borrow that or steal that, but it's just I've never thought about that in terms of PR work. Is it's kind of like a person just taking a photo with their cell phone, right, as opposed to hiring a professional photographer. The image is going to be so much more clear. And it's that eye too, right? I mean, sometimes you just take a shot and you don't realize all the obstructions, you know, that are in view or a distracting object in the background. But if you have a professional photographer, they have an eye for all that, right?
I mean, so each week I'll sit down with a personality in Atlanta, usually a business person or someone, and talk to them about their story. And we'll in our weekly series called Crossroads, which is a video series in the Atlanta 100, and they'll say, "Oh, I think my story is this. Well, my crossroads in my life that changed my life." And so I'll say, "Well, that's not that dramatic a story. Let's dig a little deeper." I'll start, you know, asking them some questions about childhood or college or adulthood, professional or personal. And then suddenly they'll say, "Oh, you know what? That's an interesting story." And I'll go, "Okay, now talk."
Yeah, now we got something.
And then they start talking. I'll say, "Now that's your story."
So you almost put on back your investigative reporter hat on again as well, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You get to know people and get to know stories, and you kind of mine for those really good marketable stories. Then you help them tell it, and then they feel so much better because they actually have something worthwhile to say that people will listen to.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Chris. So tell our listeners what's the best way to reach out to y'all.
You can go to schroederpr.com, schroederpr.com, and the Atlanta100.com, and we're out there in social media as well. So look for us, and we'll be happy to tell your good stories if you have them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, appreciate it. Thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So up next, we have our next guest, Ken Scroggs. Welcome to the show.
Wonderful to be here.
Yeah. Pleasure to have you here this morning. And so what part of the city did you come from this morning?
I came from the Peachtree Corners area.
Okay. Well, welcome to Buckhead. And you're the founder and CEO of HealthWork Solutions, a risk management wellness company. And you provide pre-claim risk management services to companies by providing programs that will identify and control the risks that drive healthcare costs, right?
That is exactly right.
And you have over 40 years experience in both the military and civilian. Well, everybody has experience in civilian life, right? But sorry about that. I just got a little distracted. Yeah, my brain was stepping ahead of me there. Yeah. But in military civilian life, creating successful healthcare programs. Now, this is interesting. You were a captain in the U.S. Army serving at Fort Hood in Texas.
That is correct.
And during your career, you initiated numerous programs for cardiac care, PTSD and leadership development, child abuse prevention. Quite an interesting background you have there. So, and you're applying that all in what you're doing currently in today's work.
That's correct. The common theme is human behavior, changing human behavior. And I'm delighted to be here at Buckhead Business Radio because as I hear our other guests, especially when Jeff talks about being here in Atlanta to drive revenue, Jeff is working hard, all the great things he's doing there. Same thing as I listened to Chris talk about PR, helping his companies to be able to better deal with growing their business. My job is, while companies are working very hard to grow their business, out the back door, they're losing money because of their healthcare costs.
Yeah.
I don't know about the cost for Marriott, but most companies are spending more every year to the tune of 10 to 17%. It goes up again and again and again. And what company looks at their line item across a spreadsheet and sees money going out, increasing at that rate, and says, I don't know what to do with it? So HealthWork Solutions is here to help with that.
So now, what do you call wellness program, a pre-risk management program?
Well, that's important to take a look at. When you talk to people in the insurance business, they're like, how can you have a pre-claim
right.
risk management? We're used to managing risks, you know, after a claim comes in.
Yeah.
For example, somebody has a heart attack or cancer. They have managed care people to deal with that and follow them very closely to make sure they get the best of care. But the point is, most of that money is already spent. What we do is we come in and put our finger on the pulse of the health of your employees to determine what chronic illnesses they have, so that before they have a heart attack, before they have a stroke, before they have developed diabetes or heart disease, we can engage them in a wellness program to prevent that claim before it comes in.
Definitely more proactive.
It's exactly about being proactive. And it's also about leadership. I have to say right up front, our program is for companies that have an eye on leadership. It's not the kind of thing that you're going to buy and have somebody else do for you.
Right. More, you know, hands-on and their
hands-on engagement.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And what are some of the risks that are causing? You mentioned, what was the increase? 16% or per
10,
year?
10 to 17%.
What do you attribute that to?
Chronic illnesses. Chronic illnesses. Just for example, Monday, yesterday, I'm watching television, morning, having breakfast, news comes on. They're talking about the national security of our country is impaired because there are so many young people who are not fit to serve in the military.
Wow.
So we talk about the healthcare crisis in America, but it is very, very real. And the more real it becomes, and the higher the cost, the more companies are taking a look at what to do about it. And some of the more proactive companies, the larger companies, Fieldale Farms, Racetrack, Rubbermaid, these are companies that have already been very engaged in watching this and implementing programs that are targeted to what the issues really are. And it's not that hard to determine.
I think that it's an interesting observation or takeaway is that I think in recent generations, definitely as the years progress, less and less active with our youth, right? I mean, there's so many distractions and other things they're doing that, you know, I never thought about that. But the alertness or the readiness of our military is based on the upcoming youth and their fitness.
Well, and that's exactly right. It's very sad, specifically what we see in young people. We have more young people that have diabetes, that have high blood pressure,
wow.
that have arthritis. Arthritis is something we used to think that's for
older yeah.
people.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the things that I just want to make mention again, too, that Chris talked about that I think is very important is you can talk about these large numbers, okay, but it's really the stories that you tell. You know, you have a blue-collar plant, a group of workers,
right.
guys, and you think the mentality is, well, these guys aren't going to change their behavior. But we've worked with companies where one of the oldest guys died of a heart attack right there on the plant floor.
Wow.
Everybody loved this guy. For the last 5 years, they have an annual fun run and a T-shirt to commemorate this fella.
Right.
And they've marked off a 50-yard track around the inside of the plant. And every day after lunch, they make a lap in commemoration for this one person.
Wow.
people do change behavior. And that's what we come up against most is people say, well, you know, it's hard to get folks to change their behavior. People don't want to change. They resist change. And though there's some truth to that, the real truth is what people don't like is how you approach them to change.
Right, right.
You know, we often think of the carrot and the stick. And in some cases, you may need a little combination of both. But at the end of the day, people don't remember what you say. They don't remember many other things other than how you make them feel. If you really care about them as people, as employees, you're engaged with them, you have programs that are designed that they understand are going to help them and their family, then they will tend to follow that leadership.
So maybe instead of a carrot, maybe we need, you know, like a yogurt or something up there or some ice cream.
Exactly the point. You have to think out of the box. You
exactly
really do have to think
you,
out of the box.
You talked about the youth and arthritis. I mean, is what's the youngest that, you know, that somebody might experience arthritis that you might have heard about? Or
yes. Well, I mean, you can look at 12 and 14-year-olds
really?
That have such problems. Arthritis is directly related to obesity.
Okay.
The larger you are, the more pressure you put on the joints, the more likely you're going to develop arthritis.
I knew diabetes was, but I didn't think about that in terms of arthritis. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now, how do you go about identifying some of these risks in order to, you know, do something about them in advance?
Well, there's a number of ways to do it, and it's not new. But one of the things that we work with is coming on site in many occasions, and once a year have an annual health screening. People come in. There's
right.
a health fair. You try to make it fun and exciting. You have giveaways, you have prizes, you have T-shirts. You get people there, and basically what you're doing is you're wanting to get their blood work.
Right.
Okay. You want to find out, do they have diabetes? Do they or high blood sugar? They may not have diabetes yet, but high blood sugar. Do they have high cholesterol? Do they have triglyceride issues? So we have a team of nurses come on site to on one. Imagine a room with four corners. In one corner, we get your blood work.
Right.
Another corner, we get your blood pressure. Then we get your weight. Then we have a health coach at the end sit down and go over your results right there. And when we have 100 people or more, we almost always rush somebody to the emergency room with high blood pressure.
Really?
That did not know they had it.
Right.
And so what happens is, though everything's confidential,
right,
it's kind of hard to hide the fact among employees that, you know, Ken right. went to the emergency
right,
room, and everybody's like, how is he? Is he okay?
Right, yeah.
And we try to use that emphasis and momentum to continue programs across the year to engage people in wellness. And as you mentioned with the yogurt, you know, you've got to make it fun. How many companies have an annual fun run, you know, and spend emphasis on the need to encourage people to be healthier and engage their families as well?
I think, you know, people want to make a change and do
yes.
Do good things, but a lot of times they just need that nudge or the excuse or whatever, you know, that the other people are kind of rallying them in their teammates, if you will, or their coworkers are saying, hey, we're going to go participate in this event. And so they kind of just want that invite, right?
Exactly.
You know?
Even if you're just going to walk and not run, even if you're just going to volunteer. But one of the beauties of our program is it's work oriented in the work environment. If you take the adult lifespan and subtract out sleep, you're at work most of the time.
Right.
You
well, some do both at the same time, but that's another. Yeah.
That can happen. But if you change the work environment, again, back to one of the things Jeff mentioned, he spent millions of dollars to create an environment at Marriott.
Right.
Okay. Somewhere in there is a place for keeping in mind the environment, not just for the guest or the customer that comes in, but the employee that works there, to engage them in being a part of, I don't know if it's a company fun run or other activities, that they're there supporting each other day in and day out, asking each other, hey, are you eating that yogurt that we have a campaign for this?
Right.
Tell you a quick story. Another company just briefly comes to mind. And the story was that they had competitions in different departments to lose weight. And it was a lot of fun, and this is a smaller community in middle Georgia. They all knew each other, and I mean, smaller community, everybody really knows each other. But
right.
the competition became a little bit high level, and so what would happen is one group would bring cookies and donuts into another
right,
group
right.
and leave them and hope that they would fall off their diet.
It sounds like a reality TV show. Yeah, they're trying to.
But again, once you get that competitive fun experience.
Yeah.
That our department is going to outdo your department in walking so many steps or losing weight or whatever it may be, then that work environment really creates a kind of buzz that not only lowers your healthcare costs, it increases productivity, it reduces absenteeism, it reduces turnover. And bottom line, when you're looking at being in a business like PR, like Chris is, you know, you want to increase retention in employees. The number one reason a person's hired by an organization is because of the job description. You know what the number one reason they leave is? Their supervisor is not engaging them and using their skills and talents.
Yeah, the middle management position or whatever. Yeah, because they love maybe the culture and the experience, but yeah, there's right. a disconnect there. And yeah, I agree. If you can get people all involved, it becomes contagious in a good way or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah.
And not to put Jeff on the spot, but Jeff, I know you've just been there 6 months, so I don't know if there's something that Marriott does, you know, as far as, you know, runs or activities or events for employees, and if you're not aware of it, you can just answer no comment. That's fine, or whatever, right?
I'm not allowed to answer no comment.
You're not allowed to answer it.
No. It's really a great idea, great story. Marriott as a company, certainly, and I don't work for Marriott, but Marriott as a company does have programs related to wellness, as does Pyramid Hotel Group. But I'm taking notes as you're talking, Ken, because great. Great stuff. I'm just thinking about our local property and what we can do here
to
continue. Again, I couldn't agree more.
I mean, it is when you get the employees active, and then it's just the endorphins, everything kicks in. It just the whole environment kind of changes. We had some folks over here from ATV, and the guys came in on their scooter or whatever, you know, their scooter right. all the way over here, you know, pedaled themselves over here. But and just a quick observation in the work environment situation, one thing I picked up on that I was talking to a gentleman about is we spend the majority of our day in this position right here, seated.
Exactly.
Right. And your organ flow, it's just there's you can actually Google, I think, sitting too long. And it's just scary what transpires. So what I installed in the office is a stand up desk.
Wonderful.
And that changes everything because you think so much clearer when you're standing up and you it just changes your environment. If you can mix that back and forth instead, because otherwise you're sitting here at the keyboard for hours and hours on end.
Exactly. Right? Sitting is now considered the new smoking problem.
Wow.
Because you don't breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a minute,
Chris
gonna,
is standing yeah. up. We're going to do a stand-up studio, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to be doing push-ups and sit-ups and jumping jacks here in the studio in a moment.
All right. So, Ken, you know, just finishing up, tell us, touch on the importance of leadership real quick, and then we want to find out how our listeners, you know, get in touch with you.
Well, it does take leadership. And just briefly, in the past, companies have depended on outside consultants, brokers, and other people to take care of the healthcare costs just as much as we as individuals, employees, families have depended on doctors to take care of us. You know, is something wrong? You have a pill or you have some surgery. At the end of the day, there are only things that you can do for yourself. And the same thing is true with leadership. These programs that we can come in and identify exactly what chronic illnesses your employee population has. Now, just briefly, that may differ from department to department or region to region. So you don't want to implement a diabetes program for the whole company if you've only got it in one department or region.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So you want to really tailor exactly what the problem is, put your finger on the pulse of that, engage leadership to stay out in front of people, encouraging them to be in the program. Now, again, briefly, that doesn't mean that your CEO has to, you know, start pumping iron or be the next, you know, Mr. Universe or something.
Right.
But it does mean at the least you've got to be out there cheering people on, giving awards, calling attention to it for two reasons. You want to save healthcare costs for you and your employees because their premiums are going to go down or at least stay level.
Right.
And the second thing is you want to people for your employees to genuinely, truly know that you care about them as people.
Yeah, it comes across. And not to harp on this stand-up thing craze I'm on. If you see me at a Starbucks, there's a couple of Starbucks I actually scout out that have the high desk stands. I'll
right.
put my laptop out there and scoot the chair away, and I'll just stand there for an hour or two just working.
Exactly.
And so if you see me at a Starbucks, I'm the guy over there standing up working. But yeah, it definitely makes it's a game changer to me.
It makes a difference. And it's not just, you know, healthcare cost and helping people feel good about where they work. At the end of the day, people don't want to suffer and feel bad.
Yeah.
You feel better when you stand up, right? That's how you do it. You feel better.
If the company encourages you and they're the impetus behind that experience,
exactly,
you're more loyal and you feel, I mean, it's just a symbiotic, you know, relationship going on there, and everybody feels, but meanwhile, so tell our listeners, what's the best way to get in touch with you and reach back to find out more about your services?
Yes, you can reach me directly at kenscroggs.healthworksolutions.org.
Okay, cool. And this will be on the website posted as well.
Wonderful.
So, Ken, I feel better just talking to you. Yeah.
See how it works? It's that quick.
Right.
Thank you.
And speaking of sitting down, our next guest invented a kind of a clever, unique widget that I don't know if widget's a good name, but you have here in the studio. And so, Rob, welcome to the show here this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Rich, for having us in.
Absolutely.
This is great.
So it's Rob Broadfoot?
Broadfoot.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, you did Broadfoot. This time, yes. Right. Yes, that's right.
And so where are you originally from? I mean, well, it says Atlanta native, so you share that with Chris, I guess, yeah.
I do, yeah. Like Chris, I am an Atlanta native, grew up just down the street here, right on Chastain Park, actually.
What took you so long to get over here, man?
So, yeah. I know, right? Well, I'm from Atlanta, but I currently live down in Decatur.
Decatur, yeah. Okay, cool. And you also, in addition to this this cool future Shark Tank gizmo that you're going to bring possibly, you also own an ad agency as well called Mock the Agency.
That's correct. My business partner, Donald Mock, and I started that company. So yes, in Midtown Atlanta, we own an ad agency and design firm there.
And who are some of your, who's in your wheelhouse that you help with that business?
In that business, we've got a ton of clients. We do a lot of work for actually Mars and their pet care divisions. We do a lot of work there, packaging design.
Mars, the candy bar?
Mars, the candy bar.
Oh, okay.
They have a whole pet care division.
Really?
Pedigree and many other brands.
Really? I had no idea.
Yeah, they've got a huge portfolio. So we do a lot of work with them. Arch Chemicals, Lonza, that's a company here that we work with. So we're in the healthcare space. We do a lot of design work for medical device manufacturers.
Wow, you got an interesting background there. So so this bum float is what we're going to be talking about this morning. It you launched that in 2002 with your business partners.
2012.
I'm reading 2012.
My handwriting is not so good.
The prototype was around 10 years prior to that. Yeah,
yes.
you were doing a lot of drinking.
It's been in the works for many years. Yes.
So for and I've saw that on their website and the photos we've been tweeting about that and put some photos up there for our listeners as well. But how did you come up with this idea?
So the story goes, I'm in this business with two other business partners. One of them, David, and I spent a great deal of time at the lake, kind of grew up going to the lake and floating around. We would always take our life jackets and turn them upside down and put our legs through the armholes. And it sounds ridiculous, but for people who lake, they all say, oh yeah. So we'd done that for years and years and years. And one night in particular, a few years back, we'd had a few cold beverages, started talking about the idea. And David said, I think we should manufacture this thing. I think we should do it.
Yeah.
So we woke up the next morning, maybe a little foggy, but decided we had launched a business. So
and it was still a good idea.
That's a good idea
if you wake up. Yeah, yeah.
Still a good idea the next morning. So we got to work.
Cool. And so, and it's really one of those simple, ingenious ideas, but when you see it visually, I mean, it totally makes sense. And if you're just listening, it is pretty much that, just imagine turning the life, instead of hanging with those noodles or just trying to wade in the water and you're dog paddling, you know, you can just chill, right?
Yeah. So it's just, it's made for relaxing, in the water. And, you know, you put your life jacket on upside down. It doesn't quite fit right. It actually floats you perfectly.
Yeah.
But it doesn't fit right. It doesn't feel right. And it's obviously not made to be worn upside down.
Right. Yeah.
So we created the product and we've adult diaper. We've heard that.
That does. I was going to say that it does kind of look that way. Yeah.
We're not out to win any fashion contest, certainly. Right. But we always tell people, it's the last thing you put on before you get in the water, and it's the first thing you take off when you get out of the water.
Yeah.
And when you're wearing it, nobody can see it anyway.
Yeah.
So it's totally made for just sort of relaxing and hanging out.
Now, is there anybody else in this space?
There are. Noodle obviously is in this space. There are a couple of other products out there, seat saddles and things like that. the main differentiator is that ours is you actually wear it.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So we've got four clips. We've got four straps so you can cinch it down to your person. And that way you don't have to worry about when you're swimming around, it sort of going away from you. You can hold a beverage in one or two hands if right, you like, so, and it's going to go with you.
We have Karen in our studio here modeling this, and when she's very tempted to put that on or whatever, yeah. And I was saying yesterday we had so much rain, I was telling you on Twitter that you could have floated over here.
We could have floated, yes. Yeah.
So where would our guests find out about Bum Floats and to try one? Or
yeah, well, if you go online, bumfloat.com, you can find us there and learn a little bit more about the product. And then we're all over social networks as well, Twitter and Facebook and all that.
Now, the ones I've seen is like you and your friends and a bunch of people floating at Lake Lanier, I guess, or somewhere. But are there different sizes for different folks or kids? Or
there are. We don't have a children's float, okay, per se. Liability reasons there and things, but we do a small, okay, medium and large size, so we can accommodate from anywhere from a 25 inch waist all the way up.
Yeah, you could put two kids in the one.
Two kids in one. That's right. It's funny you mentioned kids. I've got two kids of my own, a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. Yeah. And when my daughter was first learning to go off the diving board, I remember swimming out there and she was standing at the edge of the diving board for, I don't know, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, and there I am treading water.
Right, yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, my God, why don't I have my bum float on?
Right.
I can just sit here and just take chill. As long as you need. Yeah. Take as long as you need.
Exactly, yeah. So what about for pets? You could have a...
right? Oh, that's a good idea. We haven't really explored that
yet. You have to have four, for each of their... Yeah,
I like that.
That would be a great visual to see your... I guess mainly your dogs, probably not your cats. Yeah, I don't think you're going to probably not sell too many cat floats. Cat, yeah. No. Yeah, yeah. Now, what type of success have you found since launching?
It's been a fun ride for us, kind of pulling this thing out of thin air, and I think our biggest success to date was the fact that this year we were able to bring manufacturing here to the United States, which
nice.
Is great. Our first run, we were manufacturing overseas, and we actually found a company up in North Georgia.
So, okay.
Even keeping
nice.
It as local as we possibly
Big
can,
time.
So which is nice. So we're able to do that, which I think has been great for us. And you know, in terms of sales, we do really, really well at boat shows.
Oh yeah.
So you know, right now that's kind of our focus. We've got some retailers, sort of mom and pop marinas and things at various lakes, but our big push is really to hit Atlanta, Nashville, Miami, all the big boat shows around. We do very well there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you can release any of the numbers or just ballpark. I mean, what type of volume of quantity or you're selling lots of these or
we're doing probably in our first year we moved about 3,000 units.
Wow. That's pretty cool for a brand new product
which
to the marketplace.
Good.
Yeah, big
which
time.
Is good. Well, it's funny. Our audience, they either get it right out of the gate, like Karen. I mean, Karen did immediately. Said,
I did
is,
too.
Yeah,
whatever.
This is
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Or they kind of look at us like we're absolutely insane.
Right.
And I don't know that we're going to convince them.
Yeah.
You know, convince them. So.
Right. What's on the horizon of any licensing works or any partnership? You mentioned the boat shows, but I mean, is there there's probably a brand out there that would like to attach themselves?
Yeah, we're thinking about licensing.
Yeah.
That's a great way to go. I mean, currently right now we just expanded the product offering a little bit. So we have the original bum float, but then we do now we have like camouflage versions out,
okay, nice.
Colors and things like that we've introduced. Licensing is always an option that we're looking at.
Oh man, if you go after the college markets,
well, yeah,
you get the universities and there's some serious cash there,
yep.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, if you're not already kind of plugged into, there's a number of angel investors and startup organizations. I mean, one of our underwriters here is the Ritz Group, and they actually once a month do an event called the Shark Attack,
mm-hmm.
and they're looking for folks like you. So that might be a great opportunity, and they always have investors and people interested. But you know, I see you on the Shark Tank. I'm a big fan of the Shark Tank, and
I don't know if I'm ready for Cuban to take
right.
40% of my business.
Yeah, that's
but,
true. Whatever. Yeah,
but
no, the deal is you go on there.
No, you go on and you say,
you turn down every
no
offer,
right.
Right, Chris?
Sure.
I mean, it's a free PR. Can you go wrong by being on the Shark Tank with your newest widget? Right.
A lot of people go on there with a strategy not to be bought.
Yeah,
they
sure.
just want to promote.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they try to probably screen you through that and, discourage you. And I've heard, I've met a few people been on there, and they're on for like a 10-minute segment, but they're there for like 2 hours you know, during the process, just each person. So right. It is pretty intense, yeah, from what I've heard.
It's something to keep in mind. It would certainly be fun.
Yeah. So just don't get Mr. Wonderful. He's going to want a dollar for every float sold.
He's a crusher.
Yeah. All right. So anything else to share with our audience here before we wrap it up? Anything new on the horizon? You said different sizes and maybe the different designs.
Yeah,
and
we're always looking for ideas and accessories. Probably the biggest one that we get from our customers is when are we getting the floating koozie or the floating cup holder.
Yeah.
So we're kind of sort of taking a look at to see if that's something that we want to manufacture ourselves or if we just partner up with somebody and co-op that. Or
but it would have to be attached somehow to the device because I don't want my drink floating over to Karen or to Chris or somebody and somebody else.
Yeah. Well, it just so happens I've got four loops on that are made for tethering. So it's set up for that.
I figured you got that covered. Yeah.
I think Rich is going to trademark the pet float here pretty soon.
Yeah. I've already got the Google name. That's what I was working on here. Yeah. I would love to see a dog with this four legs in there, whatever, you know, and they would probably love.
Well, I know they do have those dog life jackets. I mean,
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
they've got those.
I didn't think about that for kids. So before we wrap up, I don't know if there's any other questions for any of our guests here at the table, but if you would mind, just to remind our listeners one more time, how would the best way to get in touch with y'all? So Jeff,
Please come check us out at MarriottBuckhead.com. And again, you can Google us and find us all over social media.
And 4th of July, the place to be. Get your tickets now.
Place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Good food, good view. And
great deals.
Yeah, there you go.
Subscribe for free to Atlanta100.com.
And that's with the in front of it, right?
The
Atlanta100.com. Yes. And Ken?
And Ken Scroggs at healthworksolutions.org.
Perfect, yeah. And and good advice there. I mean, I really hear what you're saying there with your message. And the bum in the room, you get what's your official title?
Creative bum.
That's what I thought.
The marketing side of things.
Nice.
The creative side of things. Yeah, find us at bumfloat.com. We're all over social networks. I know today we're actually launching a photo contest on Facebook. So participate in that and have a fun and safe 4th of July out there if you're going to be on the water.
Yeah. Now there's a good cross promotion right there, you know, like raffle off a few of those at the Marriott at the party.
I told him when I walked in, I'm a huge fan, and being new to Atlanta, I've spent a lot of time in the lake, and I use the diaper, so I'm ready to graduate to the bump float.
Wonderful.
Everybody's going to be walking out walking through the lobby with them on. Yeah. All right. So thanks for being here, y'all. We'll see y'all next time. Rich Casanova here for Buckhead Business Radio X. Have a great week and 4th of July.